This is Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast. It's new people, new policies, and new pros for today's women on the move. Today's military veterans are proud to serve in post-military careers as teachers. The National Center for Education reports that nearly 7% of American teachers are military veterans. They are bringing proven leadership qualities, experiences, and commitment to classrooms across America as our newest core of educators and community mentors. In today's episode, you will meet the newest addition to the Women Veterans Rock Troops to Teachers Task Force. And now here's your host, Deborah Harmon Pugh.
Welcome to Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the award-winning podcast for today's women on the move. And I am your host, Deborah Harmon Pugh. Women Veterans Rock is excited to embark upon another important and transformational mission in support of America's troops who transition into America's teachers. We are expanding our partnerships with teachers in school districts, colleges, community leaders, and most importantly, with you, America's rapidly growing community of military women who are among America's finest teachers and STEM educators. Today's conversation salutes all of America's military veterans who choose teaching in classrooms across America as a vibrant post-military career, and they are honored to serve again. Today's special guest is U.S. Navy veteran Dr. Vanessa K. Wood. Dr. Wood balances her life as a fierce advocate for comprehensive education reform while juggling her life as a military mom, a K-12 teacher, a college professor, dissertation advisor, and editor. Dr. Vanessa is also a longtime advocate for our military families. Join me in welcoming Dr. Vanessa K. Wood after this short break.
Thanks to our sponsors at the William Penn Foundation for their commitment to increasing quality public education and creating conditions for inclusion through community service and through civic engagement. The William Penn Foundation convenes stakeholders and support efforts that builds excellence in public education. New Ranks Digital Media Network is connecting today's new ranks and new generations to family, friends, and faith as a digital lifeline across time and across distance. New Ranks is America's fastest growing digital media network that's connecting people, places, and possibilities to one another.
It's time to celebrate another national enduring community partner and sponsor. It's New Ranks Digital Media Network. They are the proud and exclusive sponsors of our One Last Thing Before We Go show commentary segment. Be sure to stay tuned as we close each episode with One Last Thing Before We Go. Thanks for supporting us and the New Ranks Digital Media Network. Good afternoon, Dr. Vanessa Wood, and welcome back to Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, we're excited to have you back again with us for another conversation about women veterans who have chosen a post-military career in teaching. And today, I'm excited because we are going to talk about the Troops to Teachers program. Perhaps you can share with our listeners what the Troops to Teachers program was designed to do.
So in its simplest form, the Troops to Teachers program was designed to not only continue service members' acts of service within the community, but it also worked to provide them with a secondary career so that they could keep contributing productively to society and doing great things within the community.
Well, that's the piece that I really love about the Troops to Teachers program. It does have a defined career path so that when members of
military service and members of military families are looking to transition back into civilian life, they can actually choose a path like teaching. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk about how you decided that you wanted to be an educator. And before you answer that, I want to remind our listeners that you are a Navy veteran, you are a college professor, and you are currently teaching in the K-12 education system. So, what were some of the things that went into your decision-making process about selecting education as a post-military career?
Selecting education as a post-military career really came in a roundabout fashion for me, even though it's not necessarily classified as a mistake. I ended up staying in Norfolk, Virginia when I ended my enlistment, and that is also a really big retiree hub and stuff like that. So a lot of the positions I thought I might be able to go into, they were taken by the people who had retired versus someone who did a shorter term enlistment. And that created a bit of a financial bind for me, to say the least. And one of the things that I learned was that through the process, I went through some of the odd jobs that might not necessarily pay too well, but something was better than nothing. During the journey, I ended up being affiliated with a martial arts school, and there was a family who was really like, wow, you're kind of good at this teaching thing, and we want to see what you can do with it. And I missed the cutoff for the formal troops to teachers program by probably 6 months, but I still qualified for the career switcher program through Old Dominion University. And this particular family was really impressed with what I did on the mat with their child and the other children. They're like, you know what? We think you need to give this teaching thing a shot. We want to pay for your program, and we want to help you with your bills while you are in the program. That launched me into teaching. And the biggest thing that I really valued with the Career Switcher program, because it is an alternative route to teaching licensure, was that anytime I subbed for classes within my respective content areas, I was able to get the student teaching hours that I needed for my licensure.
Well, you taught me something today, because typically when I think about women veterans, I always find that I am thinking about it as a troops to teacher initiative. And what you're saying to me today, that there's another path that you utilize called the Career Switchers Program.
Yes, ma'am.
We see that there are multiple paths that could be parallel to troops to teachers. And we see that military service personnel, women veterans and veterans in general, are going into early childhood education, elementary, middle school, and higher education. And they are making this as a intentional decision beyond military service.
Yes.
What surprised you most about taking this route of going into being an educator after you left military service?
A lot of veterans, especially as they progress through ranks, they have to go through different levels of leadership training consistent with the rank and responsibilities dependent on the branch of service. It is one thing to tell someone to do something and it's a direct order and they just have to follow it versus, hey, you need to graduate high school, so you really need to do these things. And the military structure does have that rank level type authority to where people are often more compliant than they might just be with, hey, I'm your teacher, you need to do your work, you need to graduate, you just need to do these things because it's a checklist. And one of the biggest things I found that worked really, really well on the military side as well as the education side is the necessity of building the relationships with the people you are leading so that you can conscientiously lead them to where they need to end up.
So this really sounds like a natural occurrence. The things that individuals are doing in military service are actually contributing to laying a foundation for them going into education, going into teaching, once they transition back into civilian life. Talk to me a little bit about What do you see as some of the career benefits for those individuals that make a decision to go through the Troops to Teachers program?
There are multiple career benefits, and really it depends a lot on what motivates the person. One of the biggest things for me was the need intrinsically to actually have to be a part of something that mattered, and rather than just going punching a time clock somewhere because I needed to pay the bill. And I find for myself that when I am not contributing positively to society, I get stressed out about my work and I don't see a point in it. And in teaching, that connection, that ability to connect to others and make a difference is there all the way.
I hear you. I think that you make a really good point about being a part of something that matters. And veterans that go into teaching really find themselves not only a part of something that's bigger than themselves, but they are actively mentoring young adults, children in their work as teachers and educators. And there's some benefits for that, obviously on a community level. Well, if you could talk a bit about what do you see as the benefits to the veteran who's now a teacher and what they're doing and pouring into the lives of others by going through teaching and also mentoring.
I don't want this to come across as a bump, bruise, knock, insult, or whatever towards people who go high school to classroom, high school, college, and classroom. But for someone who has been in the military, so they've done maybe high school, military, college, and then classroom, there are a lot more experiences, or different experiences is probably more accurate, that they can contribute to the conversation. And one of the things I found really valuable, particularly in an inner city high school, was the ability to speak about the benefits of going into the military or trade schools or things like that, rather than just everyone must go to college. And I think that, I know that actually helped a lot of my students because they weren't just kind of stuck in a mode of, okay, I graduate high school and now what?
Mm-hmm. So I think I'm hearing you say that your well-rounded experience in teaching in different capacities actually better prepared you to not only be an educator, but to be a mentor and a coach when you found yourself in different situations in a classroom and in a teaching environment.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things in that is if the students asked me about different jobs they could work, I could talk about that because I did some different odd jobs after my enlistment and even before my enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to recognize clearly that even though a lot of people bash trade schools, mm-hmm. they're really valuable. Not everyone has the passion or drive or the ability to go and pursue whatever level of education, but that doesn't mean that they are incapable of doing other things. One of my students I had my first year of teaching went through the welding program, and he ended up getting a job upon graduating high school with one of the local shipyards, and he was making more than I was as a teacher. And it's because of the value of his trade in the community where we lived.
So what do you think that does for a person that served in the military, prepared for transition, go into teaching, and they get these kind of rewards in being able to coach and pour into the lives of others? What does that do for a person who was a veteran, who's now a teacher? What does that do for their confidence? What does that do for their contributions to the community?
It does so much, because when you have a student who you know has been dealt a really hard hand in life, and you know from how I grew up, I know that overcoming those obstacles and those boundaries is really challenging, but I also know they are possible to overcome. And having the opportunity to expose young people to the possibility of what can be is huge, because a lot of times we get so caught up on we need to do things this way or that way. And life doesn't fit into neat check boxes. Life is that gray, murky space in the middle where the majority of our experience happens.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to guide people and say, hey, have you thought about this? Oh, you want to do this? You need to get yourself together, depending on whatever the needs of that person are.
So are there any specific benefits to the veteran on a personal and professional level when they make a decision to go into being a post-military educator?
On the personal level, I think one of the biggest benefits is being able to give back. A lot of people tend to enlist in the military or join the military because they want to do different things, travel the world, see the world, get an education, or whatever the case may be. But a lot of times, those more internal benefits like self-discipline, confidence, critical thinking, communication, those skills are often overlooked until we find ourselves in a situation where like, oh, I don't know what to do. But having gone through the military and seeing how different things work, seeing the value of the lived experiences of others from around the country who did not grow up in anywhere near the same culture that you did is incredibly rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that and being able to take and apply those skills in the classroom is priceless because we had so many young people going through so many different things. And we like to think sometimes that they're young people, nothing bad should happen, which although I agree with that, we know that that's not always the case in the real world. And being able to take and guide the young people in a way where they can make it through whatever that challenging situation is priceless.
So what surprised you most about the benefits that you extracted from this experience of going from uniform and going into the classroom as a coach, as a friend, and as a mentor?
I think being able to adapt to the diversity of the people that we would work with is absolutely humongous. And I think if we underestimate the value of the perspectives and experiences of others, we lose a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is going to grow up in the landlocked Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is going to grow up on a coastline. Not everyone grows up in the United States, and those perspectives are all very valuable. And I think the most important thing that even though people think the military is rigid, there is a lot of fluidity in that. And flexibility are two of the biggest things needed in any of our classrooms.
Well, thank you for saying about the fluidity, because you're right. Oftentimes people have a stereotypical view of the military, and sometimes it's correct and sometimes it's not correct. But you make an excellent point about the fluidity of the experiences. In listening to you go through today's conversation, I am hearing you talk about the benefits of troops to teachers, or a career pathway of teaching benefits the individual. It benefits the students. I'd like for us to take a moment to talk about how does it benefit the community? You know that here at Women Veterans Rock, we are huge advocates for civic engagement. And I'd like for you to talk a bit about how do you think it benefits the community?
The trajectory of people who use troops to teachers or similar pipelines to go from the military to the classroom is a humongous benefit to the community, because you are taking people who have been tested physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and you are putting them into a war zone. The classroom is a war zone in so many ways. In less economically rich communities, that battle in the classroom could literally be the difference between life and death for whoever is sitting at the desks in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to use your spidey sense to figure out that a certain person needs to be nudged, pushed, guided in a specific way is mm-hmm. significant, because some of these kids, whether you're looking at an inner city area or a rural area or even suburban area, they don't know what they want to do. They're mm-hmm. disenfranchised because of so many different media platforms, mm-hmm. and being able to take and meet them where they are and use the benefit of the experience is absolutely huge. Because I know for me, I grew up in a pretty sheltered home in a lot of ways, but in other ways, there were things that should have never happened to another person. But between those experiences, I can meet the people where they are. I can say, hey, have you thought about this option when you graduate? Have you thought about doing this before you graduate? And even taking a child who is struggling academically and being able to guide them into an NJROTC program mm-hmm. is absolutely huge, because in those programs, even though a lot of people look at them as hard, they're building the life skills and the mental acumen to be able to push through obstacles and adversity rather than just, oh, this is hard, I quit.
Mm-hmm. I thank you for bringing up the benefits of the soft skills that veterans transfer into a classroom environment, because I have seen many JROTC programs where students find safety. They find sovereign sort of safe zones in going to their JROTC classes and then going into their JROTC training. And I think that it's really important that we don't neglect to talk about how you mentioned earlier about the skills around confidence and critical thinking and discipline that teachers bring into a classroom environment, and very specifically into a JROTC training environment.
I do think that's important. One of the most amazing women I have ever met is retired Master Chief Sonny Fox. Mm-hmm. She, I believe, was in charge of a supply. I think that was what her job was. Mm-hmm. But to see her being able to go in and bark when necessary at the student, and at the same time being able to say, hey, you're not doing well, what's going on, and being able to flip that switch was really powerful. I was able to see that when I was an E5 in the Navy, and I was like, whoa, this woman is really awesome, because I hadn't seen that sort of thing in real life. And in a lot of ways, movies tend to glorify different teaching personas, but to actually see what really happens and the power and authority that goes in that two-way relationship between someone who is an instructor and someone who is really trying to figure things out is absolutely beautiful and impressive.
I love to hear you talk about this transferability of the skill sets that people bring with them from the military and are able to successfully apply them in the schools and within the communities. So I'm just going to ask you for a moment, do you have any success stories that either have come out of your classroom or you've observed coming out of the classrooms of some of your colleagues who have gone through the similar pipeline?
Some of the situations make me choked up a little bit. I had this one young lady my first year of teaching, and she pulled some stunts. She was a good kid, but I could tell she was growing up in a really hard environment. Her mom was strung out on drugs. There were multiple layers of abuse at the hands of the father, and her aunt became her guardian. And that was almost a Cinderella stepsister type situation for this girl. And we ran around a little bit her freshman year because she did some things for attention, said some things for attention. But at the same time, I was like, this story's not matching up. And so I would get on her case. I'm like, no, you don't get to do that or whatever. And now she's in her third year of teaching, and she is taking her choral students to state competitions. And it's absolutely wonderful.
I love that story. And these are the kinds of stories that have stimulated not only our interest and our support here at Women Veterans Rock for the Troops to Teachers program, because it seems to me that it is this coming together of those who served our country, those who are looking to serve our community, and those in the community that want to embrace their desire to serve. Now, you mentioned earlier about having a spidey sense when you go into a classroom and you have to be able to pick and choose what sort of ways that you want to support. If we were to exercise our special powers as an advocacy group, what should we work to enhance about the Troops to Teachers program?
I think it should be easier to find and navigate, but at the same time, I realize that can be very different with the Troops to Teachers being a national program and teaching licensure happening at the state level. There's not always a direct alignment, and I think having a clear-cut path, regardless if a service member returns to their home of record or stays in the area where the last duty station is, having a clear-cut route to know what boxes to check to be able to make that transition effectively is huge.
I should let our listeners know that we're so excited about you joining us here today because you have accepted our invitation to join the Women Veterans Rock Troops to Teachers Advocacy Task Force. And so we are all big cheerleaders of those individuals who are transitioning, looking to go into post-military education. So let me stop here and say thank you and congratulate you for coming on board to be a part of our task force team.
Thank you, and I appreciate that so much.
I also want to let our listeners know that the reason why we think that you are perfect addition to our task force on Troops to Teachers is, one, because of your work as a college professor, your work in K through 12. You've been working in and around on various levels of education for a number of years, and we think that what you have to contribute to the space and what you have to contribute to our task force, I think will prove to be a really valuable contribution to our work. We know that we have this Troops to Teachers Task Force, and we will be having ongoing conversations this year because we have decided to take this on as our policy initiative for 2023. I just want to take a moment to share with you some of the upcoming conversations that we're going to have with the Troops to Teachers Task Force. I'd like to get your reaction on how we should be positioning these conversations, and what is it that you think we should work to extract from them. So we're going to have some of our task force members come on to our podcast and talk about teachers in the trenches. What are your thoughts about that? Any value in us being able to explore what's going on with teachers in the trenches?
So much value that, and in so many different ways. You can look at pretty much any media outlet, liberal, conservative, anywhere in the middle, mm-hmm. and see that there is a lot of discord. There's a lot of dysfunctionality, and I think having teachers who are able to work with young people who understand the importance and value of structure while still meeting people where they at is absolutely critical, because if you look at even other components in society, whether it's the opioid crisis or something else, if we want to change the course of where things seem to be going, we do have to work at it. We do have to work together. The teachers and the adults of the students need to be able to create viable paths forward so that the family members are being heard, but at the same time, the children are getting absolutely whatever level of support we can possibly provide them. And I don't mean that in a sense of enablement, but I mean that more in the sense of being able to build and develop the life skills. Like, what do you do when someone makes you really angry and you want to go punch their lights out? Well, we can't really do that and have a functional society, but here are other things we could do. And being able to equip people to have a strong sense of core values. And the core values, even though each branch has their own variation, there is a lot of overlap. The big ones in the Navy are honor, courage, and commitment. With honor, you're doing what you say. You are trying your absolute best to do what's right, regardless of whether someone is watching. With commitment, you have to see these things through. And even in the classroom, you have to do that. And then courage, life is hard. The world is scary. And being able to have the confidence to take that stand, whatever it may be, is something I think the world would benefit from greatly.
Well, honor, courage, and commitment. Thank you for reminding us about those three important values that we look at in terms of military service. And as task force members, we want to continue to encourage transitioning personnel about the values of mentoring beyond military service. Do you have anything to add in that regard as we encourage future educators to be able to look at mentoring beyond military service in a teaching profession?
So I have two quotes that I tend to go back to fairly often. And one of them is, I cannot change the world, but I can change somebody's world. Mm-hmm. That makes all the difference. Because like the young lady I spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. she never would have guessed her freshman year in high school that she would be where she is now. She is respected throughout her region. She is musically gifted in ways that the normal human is not. But sometimes being able to take the proverbial foot and put it someplace to get someone's attention is necessary. But they also know when you do it out of love and genuine concern. The other quote that I like so much is from the movie Soul Surfer, and that's about the surfer who had her arm bit off in a shark attack. And she had a really hard time adapting to being a teenager and only having one arm. But at one point in the movie, and this is absolutely powerful, she said, I don't need easy. I just need possible.
Whoa. I just need possible. I love it.
That stuck with me, and that struck a chord, because normally, you know, you hear some people that quoting movies is their life, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But that one, I was like, bam, mic drop, all of the things, because life is hard, and to be excellent in what you are pursuing, regardless of what it is, you have to put in the work. You have to make these sacrifices. You have to make the calculated risk. And as long as something is possible, why not?
We all just need possible. Thank you for that quote. And thank you for reminding me how we get these powerful, powerful gems from our students. And the young lady that you spoke about that transitioned from being a student into teaching is another powerful testimony. So that takes me to another point that I'm hoping that our task force conversations in the future can be able to cover. And that is something that you and I both see occurring. And we see our colleagues in teaching preparing themselves for what are the opportunities that are available to them after teaching or in conjunction with teaching. We see that our colleagues are choosing other kinds of community and civic engagement endeavors. So what words of wisdom do you have for us to consider that if we go into teaching, it actually opens up doors to other opportunities?
So there is a lot to unpack there, and that's not a bad thing, but we can look at extended opportunities as coaching. There is a very unique relationship that athletes have with their coach, and if you don't hate your coach at least once in a while, your coach is probably not doing the job. Because the coach's job is to push you to that next level of excellence, whatever that is. We also have opportunities to go into higher education. That, to me, was something I didn't even know was a possibility when I was on active duty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that anyone hid anything from me or whatever, but before I graduated high school, the world that I had experienced, even though it was diverse, there was not a lot of thinking as far as I was the first person in my family to graduate from college. So there were not a lot of those expectations of you will enlist, you will join the military, you will go through OCS, you must go to college. Those were not conversations that ever occurred when I was growing up. And I think a lot of that was just not knowing what's possible. My colleagues at different colleges, a lot of them were active duty or they were married to active duty, which is, in all honesty, its own branch of service. And then even many of my students are active duty and they're looking to equip themselves to accomplish so many things. A lot of them want to go into cyber. So if someone's in the military and they're working with information technology, their background going into the cyber world is going to be amazing because they've had to deal with the situations in real time rather than, oh, hey, here's a case study. And I'm not knocking the case study. They're quite valuable. But when you have that experience to add to the book stuff, you are a rare commodity.
I have to tell you, it has just been delightful to hear the perspective of another educator. And I just want to thank you once again, Dr. Vanessa K. Wood, for joining the Women Veterans Rock Troops to Teachers Task Force. And as we prepare to close today's conversation, I'd like for you to share with us any words of encouragement that you may have for veterans who are seeking opportunities and rewards in post-military teaching and mentoring for our next generation of educators.
I think it is absolutely essential to keep in mind that, yes, we do have a sphere of influence when we are on active duty. However, that military community has been filtered in a lot of ways because of the necessary screening processes and being able to take and apply the skills that we learn from that selected population to the population at large. It can change people's lives in so many ways because we have a good idea on what is possible. We have, in most cases, a slightly better understanding of issues, whether they are local, state, federal, international. In those experiences can really make a difference regardless of what avenue we take. And just because someone doesn't qualify to go into the military does not mean they are void of value, because the people that we come across in our classrooms have some of the most brilliant minds, even if they are neurodivergent and may not think like we think people should think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ability to persevere and keep pouring into the lives of others who can make the difference that we may not necessarily be able to make is a goldmine of opportunity and empowerment.
Well, thank you, Dr. Vanessa Wood. I am just so excited that we're going to be working together on the Troops to Teachers Task Force. And I want to thank you once again for joining us here today at Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast.
Stay tuned for One Last Thing with your host, Deborah Harmon Pugh. We thank Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, a national enduring partner of Women Veterans Rock, for their longtime support and for their shared vision of service, inclusion, and equality. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we want to thank our sponsors, Comcast NBC Universal Military and Veterans Affairs, for their support of Women Veterans Military Families in the production of Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast.
And there's one last thing before we go. Today's women veterans are choosing to teach
in post-military careers as another selfless and heroic act of community service and of civic engagement. We embrace all of America's military veterans as they continue to join the ranks of one of the most important professions in America, and that is teaching. They are teaching and mentoring on all levels of learning. It has been said that if you think in terms of 1 year, you should probably plant a seed. And if you think in terms of 10 years, perhaps plant a tree. And if your vision is vast enough to think in terms of 100 years, you should probably teach people. And in the words of Catherine Drew Faust, an American historian who was the 28th president of Harvard University, and she was the first woman to serve in that role. And she says, "We educate women because it is smart, and we also educate women because it changes the world." Now, Posse, take us home.